my sermon notes. So I'll see how I can do with just the sermon notes that are in your bulletin, and we'll go with it. I think I got this. All right. So I better pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your amazing word, how it strengthens us, how it blesses us. So I just pray, Lord God, that you would help me now as I just try and expand upon the wonderful text that was just read and some other texts to be able to bless and encourage and strengthen this wonderful congregation. So, Lord God, please, may your Spirit just take over now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, uncanny sheep. And I left the definition there of uncanny. It means having or seeming to have a supernatural or inexplicable basis beyond the ordinary or normal. Extraordinary. See, uncanny describes Peter's boldness. When he stood before the Sanhedrin, you got to understand, I mean, when the passage that was just being read, let me give you a little bit of context too. I mean, Peter and John were coming into Jerusalem, coming to worship. There is a lame beggar, can't walk. And so, you know, he's trying to ask for alms. And Peter responds to him that famous saying, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." And sure enough, the guy was, says, over 40 years old, I mean, you know, and hadn't walked a day in his life. And his legs were strengthened. He stood up and walked. Amazing miracle. And so all of a sudden it just draws this big old crowd, and people are all excited about this. And Peter addresses the crowd. And that was my sermon last week, was, you know, Peter then just giving it to the crowd, talking to, you know, saying, you know, "You guys are the ones that crucified this Jesus, but in that name this man walks," and going on, and then making an appeal that they turn their lives over to God. Well, this gets Peter and John in trouble, and because all of a sudden there's this big hoo-ha and everything, and so the authorities come, they arrest Peter and John, put them in jail, and so now Peter and John are brought before, and this is the same group that just short while ago condemned Jesus and killed him. So you would think that Peter and John would be a little intimidated by this group. And especially Peter, because if we remember, when Jesus was on trial, where was Peter? He's out there trying to warm his hands in the courtyard, and all of a sudden, when three different times people are at, "Hey, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" "Mm-mm, not me." I mean, at one point he starts calling down curses, which means he's swearing. You know, and the rooster crows, and he goes running off crying. Doesn't sound like this real bold, strong, confident guy. And now just a short while later, maybe a couple months later, here he is standing before the same group, boldness. And you heard how he just laid into them. And instead, they're here to accuse him. He's accusing them. "You are the ones that crucified Jesus." What boldness. That's amazing. You see, it's uncanny boldness because it's beyond belief. It's supernatural. What was the change in this guy? Well, you'll notice in that text, it says, filled with the Spirit. First thing is, and if you're going through the notes in the bulletin, letter B is Peter's boldness, all right? Peter's boldness. The next one is C, Spirit-inspired. Let me go back to the boldness, though. And I love that quote, and I've memorized it, too. It's a wonderful proverb. "The wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." And that's one of the things I hope that you get out of this message, that that boldness can be yours, okay? So if you have a tendency toward anxiety, a tendency towards fearful kind of living, you can have this kind of boldness. So the wicked man flees, though the righteous pursue, but the wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And that was the boldness of Peter, but it was Spirit-infused, Spirit-inspired. Okay? And that was very significant. That was the difference that turned this Peter, who really was like a coward, into this bold witness for Jesus. It was a spirit, but it was also his link to Jesus. For in the text, they also said, and actually I went a little bit beyond the text, if you look at verse 13, it goes on, and as the council's talking about this, about, you know, my goodness, you know, these are just unschooled, ordinary men. They're the fishermen. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. And that's the thing, too. When you are walking with the Lord, this is what I just sung about, you know, when you're walking with the Lord, ain't nothing can touch you. Ain't nothing can touch you because you're walking with the Lord, all right? If we're walking with the Lord, there is a great confidence, a great boldness that we can... It is not arrogance. Please do not misunderstand me. It is not arrogance. It is not that I got this. I'm so such big stuff. It is, I might be nothing, but I'll tell you what, look at my bodyguard who's standing behind me. Yeah, yeah, that's my confidence. And it is the confidence of a sheep. Now, wait a second. A sheep? Now, sheep are the most fearful of animals. I mean, anybody who knows anything about farming, anything about animals, the sheep is the dumbest of animals and also the most fearful of animals. And yet, that is point two. Fearless sheep. Fearless sheep. Psalm 23 was one of the lectionary texts today. And in Psalm 23:4, what does it say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So what's going on here? Well, look at it. I mean, it's this confident sheep. I won't fear any evil. Hey, I can be walking in the most dangerous places, and I'm okay. I'm good. Not because I'm some big old bad, you know, guy. It's because, check the bodyguard out who's behind me, you know. His rod and his staff, see, the shepherd's rod is like this big old stick, but it is a solid piece of wood with this knobby thing on it. There's a wonderful book, by the way. Philip Keller has a book. It's a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. Phenomenal book. He was a theologian and a pastor, a great writer, but also, I don't know, for about 20 years he was a shepherd in Africa. And he talks in a story about he was moving this big rock with another shepherd. And see, that shepherd never is far from his rod. And so the shepherd, this other shepherd, had just leaned the rod right next to his leg. And as they're moving this big rock, as they lifted up the rock, a cobra was right there, ready to strike. And he said, quicker than I could think or even react, this shepherd just, boom, grabbed his rod, boom, perfect shot right on the head of the cobra. Cobra's dead. So you got a shepherd who knows what they're doing. And imagine David, little David, and even David as a boy, he's like, I could take down a bear. I could take down, you know, a wolf or a bear or a lion came after my sheep. I'm taking them. I mean, even a little shepherd boy, and they were so accurate with those slings. Whoom, the precision they had. So you got a good shepherd, and not a hireling. Not a hireling. You know, Jesus, when he's talking in the Gospel of John, he said, no, the hired man, you know, the wolf or the animal comes, he runs off, but not the shepherd of the sheep. So when you know that this is your shepherd that will not leave you, will never abandon you, you walk with confidence. I'll tell you a little story, too. Easter, you heard me sing to the kids my bodyguard song. I'll tell you the context of it. It was a song that I wrote in Medellin, Colombia. So back in about 1993, I was serving in Colombia, South America. And they asked me if I would be willing on Wednesday nights to come and lead a Bible study for the orphan kids in their orphanage. Could there be a more noble task, you know? And so I've got this belief and this saying that there is no safer place to be than smack dab in the middle of God's will. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later in the sermon, but, you know, being centered in God's will. But there is no safer place in this world than when you're smack dab in the middle of God's will. I mean, teaching a Bible study to orphans, you can't get more centered in God's will. So, but it did require me to walk after the Bible study at nighttime, downtown Medellin, about a mile to the bus stop. You know, most people would say for a gringo to be walking downtown Medellin, this is 1993. Pablo Escobar had just been killed about 6 months before we got there, but still, things were very dicey. Not the wisest thing to do. Hey, I'm centered in God's will. So I'm going to teach this Bible study. If it means that I got to walk through downtown Medellin, Colombia, alone, gringo, at night, you know, it's almost like walking around with a sign saying, rob me, you know. But what I'm doing as I'm walking is I'm just going through my mind, gaining confidence from Psalm 121, Psalm 91, awesome psalms. And literally, Psalm 121, the Lord is my protector, and it talks about how He will never sleep. He will never slumber. He's always on duty. He's like the shadow at your right hand. And Psalm 91, that's just saying, hey, how does it start out? Though blessed are they who dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, and 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand side, no harm is going to come upon you. He's going to assign His angels to watch over you. You aren't even going to stub your toe on a stone because the angels are going to be walking over you. And I'm just meditating on those as I'm walking in downtown Medellin, and I'm walking with a strut now, a little swagger, you know. And again, not because I'm some big guy. I mean, I'm bigger than a lot of the Colombians, but what's that got to do if some guy pulls out a gun, you know? I mean, come on. So, but I knew I had this amazing bodyguard walking with me because it's there. It's written right there. So I'm just this little sheep, but I'm walking fearlessly because of my confidence in the shepherd. That's what I'm talking about, all right? Fearless sheep walking fearlessly because of their confidence in the shepherd. So, our faith, God's promises, point number three. So, really, our faith is the tiny little part of it. In fact, Jesus said, no, how much faith do you need? Like the size of a mustard seed. Tiny. But you got the faith even the size of a mustard seed. I left the verse right there. Nothing will be impossible for you, Jesus says. So, I mean, just a little fraction of faith. That's what's necessary. And what's that faith all about? It's just trusting that what He says in His Word, He's going to do. That's it. And what amazing promises are in His Word. I just threw a few in there that, you know, have relevance to being fearless sheep and relevance to boldness. I mean, you can be bold and walk with amazing confidence in the Lord if you really believe and just know that He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Never. He's always there, always present. That all things are going to work for the good. I mean, even when it looks like things are out of control, God's still on His throne. He's sovereign. And His promise is, it's all right. All things are going to work together for good for those who love Him who have been called according to His purposes. All right? So if you can believe that we can never be separated from His love, and I love that in Romans 8. And then Paul goes on this list. I mean, neither powers nor heights nor depth nor anything, neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, if you realize that and you start getting into some of those other promises, you know, I mentioned this in a sermon a couple weeks back, that it's like His unfailing love is like a shield around us. Wow, I am shielded by God's love. These are promises. I'm walking in the confidence of these promises, that we can cast all our anxieties upon Him. I mean, if you got a lot of anxieties that are just weighing you down and burdening you, I mean, it's literally the promise or the invitation by God is just grab them and just cast them on. Okay, God, they're yours. I can't take this anymore. Anxieties are getting at me. And He's got, just cast them on me. cast all your anxieties on the Lord because He cares for you. Little sheep, okay? Your shepherd's watching out for you. Just give it to Him. Great promises. We're promised eternal life. Doesn't get any better than that. To the point where Paul can say, dude, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So what? They want to kill me? I'm not afraid. That was the confidence of Peter standing before the Sanhedrin. What? You're going to kill me? I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to be with Jesus. That's even better. So what do I have to be afraid of? So basically the message today is, what in the world do you have to be afraid of? You're a child of God. You are a child of God. Why do you have anything to be afraid of? I love that. Love that message. Yeah. So we stay centered in God. Like I said, there is no safer place to be than smack dab in the middle of God's will, right there, surrounded by His love. So point A there is centered in His love. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in Him. It surrounds the one who trusts in Him. You all know Psalm 23. Amazing psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it goes on. And, I mean, that is the good life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And my cup runs over. I mean, it's spilling over. Life is good. And surely I will live. How does it end? Surely the love and goodness of God will follow me all the days of my life. Anyway. Yeah, I'm forgetting it all of a sudden. So, but that is the testimony of somebody who's centered in God and centered in God's will. And that can be the testimony of anybody here if the Lord is your shepherd. All these promises, they are specifically for those who have the Lord as their shepherd, who are in Christ, who have joined themselves with God and with Christ. Then all these promises and this confidence and this boldness can be yours. If you're centered in God, so centered in His love, unfailing love, surrounding, all right? Centered in His love, centered in His Word. That verse is, I put it there, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You remember the story of Joshua? So, if you can imagine, Moses has just been taken up to the Lord, and now, Joshua, you are ordained now as the leader of Israel. 3 million people. It's not a small group, all right? And it's your responsibility to take them to the promised land. God, who knew, that could be pretty intimidating. Talk about a guy that could get a little anxious. Okay, I'm in charge of 3 million people. And God said, hey, be strong and courageous. And then he said it in about four different times in Joshua 1. God said, now be strong and courageous. But the other thing he tells him is this word, and he says the law, but do not let it depart from your lips. Meditate on it day and night. So what was God's advice for a guy that's just been put in charge of all of Israel, 3 million people, to take them to the promised land? You keep this word right there and meditate on it day and night. And then be strong and courageous. So that's where Joshua's strength was going to come from. He was going to be right there in the Word. And so the Apostle Paul says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. So it's not just there in front of me, it's dwelling in me, it's being absorbed in. So you meditate on that word day and night. So tell you what, if that's what blessed Joshua, the leader of 3 million people, do you think it can bless the mom of three? Or the office manager of 30? Maybe you got a business, a large business, and you got 3,000 people under you. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Yeah, meditate on it day and night and be strong and courageous. That's where you're going to get your strength. So be centered in His Word, centered in His love, and the last one is centered in His will. So you just stay right there in the middle. And if you are centered in His Word and you're meditating on it day and night, there is no question you will know what God's will is. Well, what is God's will for my life? Well, read your Bible. I guarantee you, you start reading your Bible and making a daily habit of it, it's like that. You know what God's will is. It's simple. It's not easy to always live in God's will. It's simple. It's right there. It's all written out. You heard that the Bible is actually an acrostic, the B-I-B-L-E. It's the basic instructions before leaving earth. So our basic instructions before leaving earth, it's all laid out there. So you stay centered in His Word, centered now in His will, centered in His love. And I'll tell you what, you will be a fearless sheep. Uncanny boldness, uncanny courage and strength. You will stand firm. And again, if you're a person who tends toward anxiety, tends toward fearful, I have a fearful nature, please take my advice. Again, it's not easy, I'm not telling you, but it's simple. And it's all right there. And if you have any questions, that's why I put all those other reference verses in there, in those notes. If there's a point where you're excited about it, you just want to dig deeper and go, oh, I want to know more about what that means in the Bible. Yeah, read right there. And if you've got other questions, come talk to me. Glad to talk with you. So I had written out a little conclusion in my other sermon notes, and that's, I think, somewhere in my office. I don't know where it is. But I hope I've made the point. And so I would just, let me pray. Dear God, thank You so much for Your Word again, and for this Word that if we would follow it, would create in us boldness, a supernatural kind of courage, where truly anxieties can just melt away. Why should any one of us here be fearful or anxious or worried when we are children of God? What a wonderful message, Lord God. Please let it sink into our hearts. Let us live it out. And Lord God, You be praised and be glorified in and through us in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.